This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فاصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد إذ اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى أو كما قال Sadaqta ya Rasulullah. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher, and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness, we believe in all the prophets who came in the great line of divine. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Sayyidul Ulama, Huffaz, Qurra, principals, teachers, elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone present. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are followers of a comprehensive way of life. Deenun shamilun. Dinun kamilun, brought to comprehensive fruition by the final messenger, the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who conveyed to humanity a well-preserved revelation, a revelation for humanity at large as a hudal linnas until the end of time. Islam, that way of life, seeks to attract the hearts and minds of people towards the truth. And it does this by means of reasoning, by good moral example, the emphasizing of justice, the universal applicability of its ethos, and the natural beauty of its principles. And all Muslims, I repeat, all Muslims are members of the human family, which are the best of creation. Ahsani taqweem, as Allah says. And each human being, by virtue of a human being, is considered as honorable. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Within that bond of family, the family of humanity, there exists the fraternity of believers, what Allah refers to as the ikhwa. In the verses of the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ ikhwa, is an example, who are bound by the ideology of Islam, a philosophy, a religion, a way of life, which reached culmination in the mission of Rasulullah, but which in essence and in principle was perpetuated and passed on to us throughout the history by all the prophets in essence. It reached culmination and fruition in the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But all the prophets in essence taught the fundamentals of the very same faith. So Rasulullah did not start Islam, but rather brought it to comprehensive fruition by receiving the last revelation, as he was the last in the line of prophets and remains the example until the end of time. So we as the Ummah, as the whole, constitute a global community of faith, a community that transcends the barriers of race, that transcends the barriers of nationality, of color, of language, of gender, of ethnicity, of culture, and of time. And not only that, we are supposed to be an ummah al-wahida, a single global community, bound by the larger principles of our faith. We were never intended to be a community divided on and due to our differences, which have existed, which do exist, and which will continue to exist. And therefore Allah says in Surah Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believing fraternity, the believing people, they are, the believers as a whole, are a fraternity. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخْوَيْكُمْ. Make islah, reconciliation. Now you can't reconcile unless you have differences. If you are at idem, as they say in law, of the same mind, there's nothing to reconcile. You only reconcile which is reconcilable. You can only reconcile which is reconcilable. Even in Islamic law and in Roman Dutch law, when there's irretrievable breakdown, for example, in the marriage, there's irreconcilability, then you go apart. But you reconcile where the reconciliation is possible, and the groundwork and the framework is there for it. So, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Make reconciliation within that fraternity. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And be ever conscious of Allah, ever dutiful to Allah, and be fully aware that if you do so, that you may be graced with His abundant and eternal mercy. So the Ummah is distinguished by being followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and abiding by the Quran as the final revelation and the general principles of our faith. The Ummah is distinguished by what we share and what we agree upon regarding the fundamentals of our faith. The Ummah is not distinguished by the way we differ among ourselves on secondary issues. Hence the admonition in the Quran to be cautious not to create a division and allow for the fragmentation of people of faith. We were never intended to be a community bogged down in disputations and discord. In fact, the overarching attitude and advice of the Prophet ﷺ, which comes across in numerous traditions, مثل المؤمنين في توادهم, the one I mentioned at the beginning of the talk, the solidarity of believers in their mutual love, in their mercy and sympathy, is that like a body, if an organ or any part of the body aches, the rest of the body sympathizes with it. It suffers sleeplessness and fever. So as Muslims, we acknowledge that all those considered as part of the Islamic faith by the vast majority of Muslims throughout history will be treated by Muslims as Muslims. And we acknowledge the fact that differences there are, differences there have been, and differences there will continue to be. But if a person does not overtly deny the fundamentals of our faith, such a person is deemed our brother and our sister in faith without prejudice. We shall hold no such person under suspicion, since we have been commanded in the same surah, avoid suspicion. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثن. Avoid much of suspicion, for some suspicion himself can be lie. We are obligated to honor people with the duty of a Muslim, taking seriously the injunction of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith documented in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal as well as Sahih Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadi. A Muslim is that person from whose words and deeds all other Muslims are safe. وَالْمُؤْمِنُ مَنْ أَمِنَهُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ دِمَائِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. And a mu'min is that one in whom humanity at large, even beyond the Muslim, finds safety and security regarding the life, the honor, and the property. Thus, no Muslim should find any excuse to wantonly make any Muslim individual or group, irrespective of their school of thought, the deliberate subject of attack or the focus of unwarranted negative attention. The positive attitude of a Muslim towards another is encapsulated in the prophetic guidance, Al-Muslimu Akhul Muslim, La Yadhimuhu, Wa La Yaghzuluhu, Wa La Yahqiruhu, At-Taqwa Hahuna, Wa Yashiru Ila Sadri Thalatha Marrat, Bi Hasab Imrim Min Ash-Shar, Ay Yahqir Akhahu Al-Muslim, Kullu Al-Muslimi Ala Al-Muslimi Haramun, Damuhu Wa Maluhu Wa Irduhu. Hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. He neither oppresses him, nor humiliates him, nor looks down upon him. And piety is here. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to this report, pointed 3 times to his heart. It is a serious evil for a Muslim that he should look down upon his fellow Muslim. All things of a Muslim are inviolable for his brotherly faith, his blood, his wealth, and his integrity or his honor. Lasting harmony and understanding starts from within the community. And then that could spread the same respect towards those beyond our immediate community. How would other people take a community seriously, which must understand components of itself and thereby sometimes misrepresenting each other? We should recognize that in submitting to Allah, building a wholesome and harmonious, wholesome community is one of our primary objectives. We should confirm the importance of promoting a culture of dialogue within our faith community. Allah calls upon the Ahlul Kitab among the Christians with element of shirk in their belief. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَائِمْ بَيْنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. It doesn't mean we agree with their views, but it has an approach, an ecumenical approach of openness, of inviting, of engaging, despite a distinct element of shirk among the Christians who are considered closest to us according to the Quran, despite their belief being so distant from us as far as Tawheed is concerned. So we should affirm the importance of listening to and learning from differing perspectives. We should attempt to explain our own perspective and do so in a dignified manner, intelligible and inoffensive. We are concerned globally about the rising tide of fanaticism. And sometimes we have to answer for the fanaticism of other people as if it emanates from our faith. We are concerned about the rising tide of fanaticism, the preponderance of violence in the name of our faith, growing interfaith resentment, increasing intra-faith intolerance. And this, to me, somewhat signifies a substantial departure from the revered path of wasatiyah, of moderation. I advise myself, and all of us inshallah, that we affirm the importance of listening to differing views, learning from other perspectives, so that we can value Islamic plurality as a factor that enriches our communities, as it has done throughout history. We should commit ourselves to engage in dialogue where necessary and where possible with sincerity and patience. And such engagement should not be with anger and discourtesy, and without considering those things that we differ about as insurmountable barriers to our brotherhood and fraternity. You see, our identity is Islam, because we are too caught up in being Salafi and Sufi and Sunni and Shi'i and Brelvi and Diobandi. We somehow lose, be all of that, no problem with being, calling yourself whatever you call yourself, and justifying why you are Salafi and why Sunnah to call yourself Salafi, refer to Salaf or Sunnah, whatever you call ourselves, whatever be what you be. Sabi kucho, as Allama Iqbal says, batao musalman bi ho, you to Sayyid bi ho, Mirza bi ho, Afgha bi ho, sabi kucho batao musalman bi ho. You are all of these things, but show me are you Muslim as well. If you were, you would have no barrier to finding another Muslim as your brother Muslim. Because you emphasize your culture or your madhab or your... Then you find people, I'm a Sufi now, so I've got a problem. By definition, I should have a problem with the Salafi or whatever it may be. It shouldn't be like that. But almost camps. My brother, Muslim brother, whether Sufi or Salafi, whether it's Salami standing or sitting, doesn't matter, he's my brother. I may differ, and we'll discuss, and we'll debate. And we'll argue if we have to. But I'm not going to go out there and belittle him because of our differences. We are so fragmented. Over 10 million Muslims have left Muslim land to go to so-called kuffar lands for safety and security while the Muslim world watches by. This is the time for us to get involved in secondary issues. The house is burning, and we're worried about the menu that you're serving for supper. So, our identity is Islam. Our allegiance is to Allah. Our guide is the Quran. Our leader is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Muslim brother who's considered Muslim by the consensus, I don't mean people who are deviant, people who come with a new faith. I'm saying Muslims who've been considered as Muslims throughout history by the large majority of scholars. Every Muslim is my brother, and every human being my family, and the whole of the universe is my responsibility. That's how a global citizen thinks. We have to take a holistic look in the foundational message of the Quran, the foundational message, the exemplary lessons taught by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabi wa sallam, the essential moral priorities of the individual believer, and the ethical parameters that universally guide believers in interacting with among themselves and with others. We come from a tradition where the Rasul said, "La yahillu lil muslimi an yanzura ila akhi bi nadarin yudhi." It's not halal. Basically, let me put it bluntly, it is haram for you to even look at your brother, look at him with a look that he finds displeasing, even if you didn't intend it. It's haram for you to look at your brother with a look that he finds displeasing. How far have we deviated from that? How much sunnah are we implementing at the expense of so much other sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supposedly? So, ours is a religion of peace, as I always said, not a culture of violence. Ours is a philosophy of love, not an attitude of hate. Our deen started a civilization, not something which I say out of boast or even out of my faith. It's a historical reality and fact. Our deen started a civilization which sparked the Renaissance. It's not a doctrine that promotes destruction. Ours is a faith of inclusivity that embraced the Ahlul Kitab, not a narrow-minded theology that excommunicates its own people. We should, I believe, be committed not to wantonly make any Muslim, individual or group, the target of our attacks. If there are differences, let's speak. If people highlight things that cause problem, engage and try to neutralize that. But we ask Allah to protect us from view of those who make the universal, ever-relevant Islam a cause of major conflict by infighting over insignificant issues, who turn minor points of difference into major ideological conflicts. Sadly, all of this in the name of Islam. And as I always remind ourselves, we are weakened by our divisions and our enemies are strengthened by our disunity. It is in the greater interest of our ummah, specifically at this crucial and perilous stage of our history, it is in the interest of the ummah to foster and promote conciliation, not agitation, to promote calmness, not incitement, to promote friendship, not hostility. Let's focus on what unites us rather than harping on what divides us, because we are weakened by these kind of engagements, not strengthened by it. Let us purge ourselves from grudges and suspicion. Let's not become lackeys, not that any of us may be, of any political forces, of outside influences. When something happens in some part of the world, suddenly we get fighting over mother because some financier somewhere else may be involved in something, and now we jump at their behest. I don't say it's happening, I'm just saying it happens in some parts of the world. Let us purge ourselves from grudges and suspicion. Let us purge ourselves from grudges and suspicion. Find ways and occasions for eliminating rancor and hatred. It's a time for renewed kindness to near ones and dear ones amongst ourselves, and a fostering of love for those who are of our faith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "Shall I inform you about that which is better than in degree than prayer and fasting and charity?" Said, "Ya Rasulullah, tell us this. What is it?" إصلاح ذات ألا أخبركم بأفضل من درجة الصيام والصلاة والصدقة. Shall I inform you? بلى يا رسول الله. Tell us. إصلاح ذات البين. Reconciliation. Because chaos among yourself, alienation among yourself, fighting amongst yourself is like cutting your own throat. We are always encouraged to work towards a resolution rather than dissolution, for صلح خير. Reconciliation is always best. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.